Chapter 11, Fermentation and Preservation from the World Cooking Systems Atlas. After this chapter, you will not think of preservation as something cooks did before refrigerators. You will see it as the oldest of the cooking systems, older than the wheel, older than writing, and you will know its four axes. The cook who learns them gains access to flavors no fresh ingredient can ever reach. The room before the refrigerator. There is a moment in the history of cooking that almost no recipe writer talks about. This is also the chapter where the cook's voice has to change. Almost every chapter of this book has worked at the time scale of minutes to hours. This chapter works at the time scale of weeks, months, years, and for some traditions, decades. The cook who reads it has to slow down. Not stylistically, operationally. A nukazuke bed is not a project. It is a relationship that may outlive the cook who started it. This is also the chapter where the safety language is most load-bearing. Read carefully. 2. The four preservation axes. Cooks have invented exactly four ways to prevent food from spoiling on the counter. There may be variations, refinements, hybrids, but at the chemical level, there are four mechanisms, and almost every traditional preserved food in the world is one of them, or a combination of two. Salt, water removal by osmosis. Acid, pH lowered below the threshold bacteria need. Dehydration, water removed directly by air, sun, or heat. Microbial fermentation, beneficial microbes occupy the food before harmful ones can. The four interact. Salt often sets up conditions for microbial fermentation, the brine on a sauerkraut. Acid is often the product of microbial fermentation, the lactic acid in kimchi. Dehydration is often combined with salt, a salt cod, a country ham. A traditional dry-cured sausage uses every axis at once. But for the cook learning the system, it is useful to walk each axis alone first. Each has its own mechanism, time horizon, safety considerations, and flavor signature. Salt, water removal by osmosis. Salt is the oldest preservation tool. It works because bacteria are full of water at a particular concentration. When the food around them is saltier than they are, the water inside the bacterial cell moves out by osmosis. The cell cannot reproduce. The food does not rot. This is why a slab of prosciutto, salt cured for months and air dried for years, is stable at room temperature. It is why salt cod kept the medieval European long-distance fishing trade alive. It is why a pickle held in 5% brine slowly becomes a pickle, while a pickle held in plain water becomes a swamp. The numbers matter. Traditional dry-cured fish and meats use about 15% salt by weight to ensure room temperature stability. Lacto-fermentation brines use about 2 to 5%, too low to stop bacteria entirely, but high enough to favor the right bacteria, the lactobacillus that makes sauerkraut, kimchi, and nukazuke, over the wrong ones. A salt concentration below 1% does almost no preservation work. It is seasoning, not curing. The cook who improvises with salt is the cook most likely to make a dangerous preserved food. Undersalted cured fish at room temperature is not a frugal cure. It is a botulism risk. Undersalted brine for a fermented pickle is not a healthier pickle. It is a pickle the wrong bacteria can colonize. For any preservation that depends on salt, use a tested recipe and weigh the salt. Improvisation is for fresh cooking. Curing is for measurement. Acid, pH below the bacterial threshold. The second axis is acid. The mechanism is simple. Most spoilage bacteria and almost all dangerous pathogens, including the spore-forming Clostridium botulinum that produces botulism toxin, cannot grow below a pH of 4.6. Acid foods are stable because the food has been brought below that threshold. This is the chemistry behind every vinegar pickle, every escabeche, every ceviche, every yogurt, every quick pickle, every pickled red onion sitting in a jar in the door of the fridge. But, and this is one of the safety critical sentences in this chapter, pH is only one variable. A pickle made with vinegar at home is acid by titration, but the rest of the system has to support that. Quick pickles look shelf-stable, but are not. The home cook has not canned them to a tested procedure. The brine has not been heat-sealed. The jar is not sterile. The acid is sometimes diluted at the bottom of the jar by water released from the vegetable. Quick pickles belong in the refrigerator. They are not pantry food. Some acid foods develop their acid over time, through fermentation. Sauerkraut starts at the pH of cabbage and arrives after 3 weeks of lacto-fermentation at the pH of a stable pickle. Kimchi, the same. Miso, over a year, lowers in pH as the koji and bacteria work. These are not acid preservations in the same sense as a vinegar pickle. They are microbial fermentations that result in an acid environment. The microbes do the work. The acid is the result. Dehydration, water removed directly. The third axis is dehydration. Bacteria need water to live. Remove the water, and the food becomes inhospitable to them. Dried mushrooms, sun-dried tomatoes, jerky, dried fish, raisins, dried beans, dried chilies, dried pasta. Every one of these is a food where water has been reduced below the level that supports microbial growth. What dehydration gives the cook, even for foods that will not be eaten dry, is concentration. A dried mushroom is a fresh mushroom with 80% of the water removed and 100% of the umami still present. A dried tomato has the sugar, the umami, and the acid concentrated. When the dried mushroom is rehydrated in stock, the liquid carries the dried form's intensity, not just the fresh forms. This is the axis behind some of the most important ingredients in the world's professional pantries. Dashi-grade katsuobushi, dried, fermented, and aged for over a year. Iberian ham, dried for 2 to 4 years. Parmesan, dried in its rind for 2 years. Bataga, dried fish roe, morels, and porcini. What the cook is buying when they buy these is concentrated time. The drying is what made the time concentration shelf-stable. The safety considerations for dehydration are real, but smaller. Properly dried food is shelf-stable. Improperly dried food, surface-dried but moist inside, can support mold growth and storage. The rule? Dried food should snap or tear cleanly, with no moist interior. If you bend a piece of jerky and it flexes like a leather strap, the drying is incomplete. The cook's instrument is touch. Microbial fermentation, microbes as flavor and preservation. The fourth axis is the one this chapter is built around. Fermentation is the deliberate cultivation of beneficial microbes, lactobacillus bacteria, certain yeasts, the Koji mold, Aspergillus oryzae, on a food so those microbes can occupy the food before harmful ones do, and can transform the food's flavor, texture, and chemistry into something that did not exist before. This is qualitatively different from the other three axes. Salt, acid, and dehydration are removal techniques. Water out, pH down, bacteria starved. Fermentation is an addition technique. The cook is inviting an entire ecosystem into the food and letting it work. What that ecosystem does is the chapter's central wonder. Lactobacillus in cabbage turns starches and sugars into lactic acid. Sauerkraut. The same bacteria in a chili and cabbage mix produce kimchi. In rice bran with daily stirring and a salt floor, they produce the nukazuke bed. In soybeans with koji, they produce miso. In rice with koji alone, they produce sake mash and shio koji. The same handful of organisms, in different substrates and at different timescales, produces the central flavors of nearly every cuisine. The cook's job with microbial fermentation is to set the conditions: substrate, salt, temperature, time, oxygen exposure or its absence, and then to watch. The cook waits. This is also the axis where safety is most load-bearing, because the cook is deliberately inviting microbes to live in food at room temperature. The right microbes are safe, the wrong ones are not. The mold on top discard first rule that runs through the rest of this chapter exists because the cook, after weeks of patient work, will face the temptation to rescue a ferment that has developed surface mold. That temptation is the most dangerous moment in fermentation. The next section names the rule. The mold on top discard first rule. Before the chapter goes further, it has to state the single rule that the rest of the chapter depends on. This rule is non-negotiable. If a fermented food develops fuzzy, colored mold on its surface, blue, green, black, pink, orange, or fuzzy white that is not the intended koji, discard the entire batch. Do not skim the mold off and continue. Do not strain the liquid below the mold and use it. Do not scrape mold from the surface of a miso, a nukazuka bed, a fermented pickle, or a sauerkraut and pretend the rest is fine. Discard. Clean the vessel. Start over. This rule is harder to follow than it sounds. The cook will have invested weeks. The cook will see one small patch of green or blue or black fuzz on the surface and think, surely the rest is fine. Surely I can just scrape that off. Surely it is wasteful to throw out a whole jar for a teaspoon of mold. The wastefulness is real. The risk of the alternative is also real. The risk of misidentification is the cook's. The cost of caution is one batch of vegetables and a clean jar. The cost of being wrong about a mold can be serious. The math is not close. This rule will appear several more times in this chapter. The repetition is deliberate. The cook who reads this chapter casually should still leave with this one sentence intact. If there is fuzzy mold on top, discard the batch. This site's kombucha-based guidance has been written in the same register for the past year. The two pieces of guidance reinforce each other. 4. The salt axis in practice. The cook will meet salt preservation in three principal forms: dry salting, brine, and salt-cured ferments. Each works on the same osmotic principle at different concentrations and time horizons. Dry salting is the technique behind salt cod, salt-cured fish, and the salt step in cured meat production worldwide. The food is buried in salt. The salt draws out water and penetrates the food, raising internal salinity to a level where bacteria cannot grow. A traditional salt cod is salt cured for weeks, then air dried. The internal salt concentration must reach about 15% by weight to ensure stability without refrigeration. Anything less is risky. The cook attempting any dry salt cure at home should follow a tested recipe and weigh the salt. This is the most safety sensitive of the salt techniques because failure modes are not visually obvious. A piece of undersalted cured fish can look, smell, and taste fine and still harbor Clostridium botulinum, particularly in the anaerobic conditions deep inside the flesh. The cook is not equipped to test for botulinum spores at home. The cook's tool is the recipe and the scale. Brining is a salt water solution into which food is submerged. A typical preservation brine is around 5 to 10% salt by weight. This is enough to inhibit most bacteria while allowing certain salt-tolerant ferments. A pickle brine, a feta brine, a salt-cured olive brine, all use this technique. Salt-cured ferments combine salt and microbial fermentation. The salt is set high enough to inhibit dangerous bacteria, but low enough to favor lactobacillus. Sauerkraut at about 2% salt, kimchi at about 2 to 3%, yukazuke beds at about 13 to 15%. These are the precise ratios developed by centuries of trial and refinement. The cook who deviates from these ratios is not making a lower sodium version. The cook is making a ferment with a different and probably worse bacterial population. There is also a specific failure mode the cook should know. Garlic, herbs, mushrooms, and other low-acid vegetables submerged in oil at room temperature create anaerobic conditions. Oxygen excluded, moisture present, pH above 4.6. This is the precise environment in which Clostridium botulinum grows and produces its toxin. A jar of garlic submerged in olive oil and left on the counter for a few days is one of the highest-risk preparations a home cook can make. The flavor is wonderful, the risk is real and not theoretical. All infused oils made at home must be refrigerated and used within 1 week. No flavored oil with garlic, herbs, or low-acid vegetables should be held at room temperature, even briefly. None should be stored long-term at home. This includes preparations that look traditional, like roasted garlic in oil. The commercial versions of these products are acidified and pH-tested under controlled conditions. The home version is not. If the cook wants long-term flavored oil, they should buy a commercially tested product. The home kitchen's version is a fresh, refrigerated, one-week preparation. This rule has the same load-bearing status as the mold-on-top rule. The two together cover the most common serious harm scenarios in home preservation. The cook should know them both well enough to recite without reading. 5. The acid axis in practice. Chapter 7 of this book treated acid as a flavor axis. Built-in, late, structural, three arrivals on the same timeline. This chapter treats the same acid as a preservation axis, doing a different job. The cook will meet acid preservation in three forms: vinegar pickling, fermented acid, technically microbial, but producing an acid environment, and acidified preparations like jam. Vinegar pickling at home is the most common preservation technique the home cook attempts without a tested recipe. The cook covers vegetables with hot vinegar brine, sometimes with salt and sugar, and stores the jar in the refrigerator. The result is delicious, useful, and not shelf-stable. The pickled red onion and the quick pickles on this site are both refrigerator preservations. The vinegar brings them to a low pH. The refrigeration is what holds them safe. This needs to be said directly, because the cook reading a vinegar pickle recipe often assumes that the vinegar alone makes the result shelf-stable. It does not, at home. A commercial vinegar pickle on the supermarket shelf was processed under heat canning conditions, specifically tested for that pH and that food. A home quick pickle was not. The window is 2 to 3 weeks. After that, even if it looks fine, discard. The cook who wants a truly shelf-stable vinegar pickle has two options. Either follow a tested water bath canning recipe to the letter, including jar sterilization, acid level, headspace, and process time. Or accept that the home version is a refrigerator pickle and live within the time window. There is no middle path. Improvising shelf-stable canning is one of the highest risk things a home cook can do. And the failure mode, botulism, is severe enough that the standard advice from food safety authorities is uniform. Tested recipes only. Fermented acid is the result of microbial work rather than direct vinegar addition. The sauerkraut becomes acid because the lactobacillus in the cabbage produce lactic acid. Yogurt becomes acid because starter cultures produce lactic acid in the milk. A finished sauerkraut at pH around 3.5 is shelf stable in a sealed jar at cool temperatures for months. A finished kimchi at pH around 4.0 to 4.4 holds for weeks to months refrigerated. A finished miso at pH around 4.5 to 5.0, the salt and koji together stabilize it, holds for years refrigerated. Acidified preparations include jam, marmalade, fruit chutney, and similar high-sugar, high-acid preparations. The combination of high sugar, which reduces water activity, high acid, and proper heat processing produces a shelf-stable food. The tested ratio is not the cook's place to optimize. A low-sugar jam is not a healthier jam. It is a jam with a different and shorter safety window. The dehydration axis in practice. Dehydration is the simplest axis to understand. There are three families the cook will use. Air drying is the oldest technique. Herbs hung in a dry corner, tomatoes sliced and laid in the sun, fish split and hung in cold dry air. The technique works only when the surrounding air can actually accept water. In a humid climate, air drying alone fails. For most home cooks in modern kitchens, practical air drying is limited to herbs and chilies. More ambitious air drying, country hams, dry cured sausages, requires temperature and humidity control beyond a typical kitchen, and is best left to commercial production unless the cook has set up a curing chamber. Low heat drying uses an oven on its lowest setting, a dedicated dehydrator, or a sunny windowsill on a hot, dry day. The cook spreads thinly sliced fruit, mushrooms, or vegetables on racks and dries them at temperatures below 70 degrees Celsius, high enough to drive water off, low enough that the food does not cook. Tomatoes dried this way concentrate sugar and umami. Mushrooms concentrate the savory compounds that make a stock built on dried shiitake taste fundamentally different from a stock built on fresh. Dried ingredient cookery is the use of dried ingredients in cooking. This is the most universal application of the dehydration axis. Every traditional cuisine has its dried ingredient pantry. Dried shiitake and kombu in Japan, dried chilies and beans in Mexico, dried pasta and tomato in Italy, dried fish and shrimp in Southeast Asia, dried fruit and nuts across Central Asia and the Middle East. These ingredients are not lesser versions of fresh. They are different ingredients that happen to share a name with their fresh form. A dried shiitake stock is the cleanest example. The dried shiitake has been not just dehydrated, but enzymatically transformed during the drying. The guanylate that makes dried shiitake umami dense is created during the drying process and is not present in the fresh mushroom in the same concentration. To rehydrate the dried shiitake in cold water overnight is to extract that guanylate slowly into the soaking liquid. The resulting stock is darker, deeper, and more savory than any stock the cook could make from fresh shiitake. The drying is the work. Safety. Properly dried foods are stable. The principal failure mode is incomplete drying, surface dry, interior still moist, mold growing inside over weeks. The cooks check. The food should be brittle, snap cleanly when bent, show no flexible or moist interior. Modern advice for home dried meat jerky adds one important step. The meat should be brought to safe internal temperature, about 70 degrees Celsius, at some point during processing, either before drying or by finishing in the oven after. Drying alone does not reliably kill pathogens. The combination of drying and a brief cooking step does. The microbial axis in practice. The fourth axis is the one the chapter has been building toward, and the one where the cook's voice has to slow the most. The cook will meet four main forms of microbial fermentation: lactic fermentation, koji fermentation, yeast fermentation, and mixed culture ferments. Lactic fermentation is the most accessible to the home cook. A cabbage rubbed with salt and packed into a jar will, over 2 to 3 weeks at room temperature, become sauerkraut. The salt draws out water. The brine that forms covers the cabbage. The cabbage's own lactobacillus population grows in the salty, anaerobic environment and produces lactic acid. The cabbage softens, becomes acidic, and develops the characteristic sauerkraut flavor. The cook has done almost nothing. Added salt, packed the jar, weighted the cabbage below the brine. The bacteria have done the work. The same principle, with different vegetables and seasonings, produces kimchi, cabbage, daikon, chili, garlic, ginger, fish sauce, salt, curtido, Latin American cabbage, Indian-style fermented vegetables, and dozens of regional variations. The cuisine-specific differences are real and should not be flattened. Sauerkraut, kimchi, and the Japanese tradition of nukazuke are not interchangeable. They use related bacteria at different salt levels, with different secondary ingredients, in different vessels, at different time horizons, and produce different flavors. The cook who learns one has not learned the others. The Japanese nukazuke pickles tradition is an example of how patient and distinctive a single lactic ferment can become. A nukazuke bed is roasted rice bran mixed with salt water, into which vegetables are pressed daily. The bed develops a lactobacillus population specific to the home it lives in. Some traditional nukazuke beds in Japan have been kept for generations, passed from mother to daughter, fed daily, and stirred daily by hand. The bacteria in a 100-year-old nukazuke bed are descendants of the bacteria that lived in the same bed when it started. Black mold on the surface of a miso means discard. The miso marinade is the application of long-aged miso to meat or fish, where the salt and koji enzyme combination both seasons and tenderizes over hours to a day or two. This is preservation applied to a fresh ingredient using a paste that has itself been preserved for years. Yeast and mixed culture ferments, the chapter will touch on only briefly. Bread is yeast and lactobacillus in sourdough, fermenting flour and water. Wine is yeast fermenting grape sugars. Vinegar is the bacterial conversion of alcohol to acetic acid. Kombucha is a mixed culture of yeast and bacteria, fermenting sweet tea. The same principles apply. Invite the right organisms, give them the right conditions, watch for signs of the wrong ones, and discard at the first sign of fuzzy colored mold. The kombucha base on this site walks through these decisions for that specific case. The chapter's mold on top rule applies there as it does everywhere. Time versus flavor depth, the patient diagram. The single most useful visualization in this chapter is a chart the cook should hold in mind even before it is drawn. On the horizontal axis, time, measured in weeks, months, years. On the vertical axis, flavor depth. Not flavor intensity, but flavor complexity, the number of distinct notes the cook can name in a single bite. The chart begins at the origin. Fresh ingredients, low complexity, immediately available. A fresh cabbage at week zero has one note, cabbage. A fresh soybean at week zero has one note, soybean. The curves rise sharply in the first few weeks for lactic ferments. By week one, the cabbage has begun to acidify. By week two, it has developed the characteristic sauerkraut tang and a few of the secondary aromatics that fermentation produces. By week three, the curve has rounded over and the sauerkraut is essentially complete. Further aging adds little new complexity to a sauerkraut. It just slowly continues the acidification. Miso rises slowly. At month one, miso tastes of bean and salt. At month three, the curve has started to rise, the beginnings of caramel notes, the first hint of the deep umami. At month six, the miso is recognizable as miso. At month 12, it is rounded and complex. At month 24, it has reached the deep, dark, almost meaty flavor of a long-aged miso. The curve continues to rise for several more years. Soy sauce, in traditional brewing, rises along a similar but longer curve, 1 to 2 years to reach full flavor. Katsuobushi, over its 4 to 6 months of smoking and mold curing, develops a flavor depth that fresh bonito cannot approach. Hard cheeses rise for years, with Parmigiano Reggiano at 36 months being a different ingredient from Parmigiano at 24. Aged hams rise for years on a similar curve. At the far right edge of the chart, measured in decades, sit the ingredients almost no home cook makes, but that show the limit of what time can do. A 25-year balsamic, a 7-year aged miso, a long-aged hard cheese, these are the points where flavor complexity has reached a level that the earlier points do not hint at. The cook does not need to chase these. The cook needs to know they exist, because they are the proof of what the patient axis can do. The chart taken whole makes one point. The cook with patience has access to flavor depths that the cook in a hurry does not. A 6-month miso is not a faster-made version of a 2-year miso. It is a different ingredient. Both have their uses, both have their place. The cook who only ever buys young miso and uses it as a substitute for everything has not yet met what miso can be. This is the single most patient diagram in the book. Every other chapter measures success in minutes or hours. This chapter measures it in years. A cook who internalizes this chart starts thinking about the pantry differently. The cook starts asking, what could I begin now that I would want to be ready in a year? What could I begin now that my future self would thank me for?
9.
Cultural humility. Fermentation is not one thing. Before the chapter walks into worked examples, this must be stated plainly. Fermentation traditions are deeply, profoundly regional. The differences are not cosmetic. They are differences of bacterial population, salt concentration, vessel material, time horizon, seasonal timing, and the relationship of the ferment to other foods on the plate. Japanese nukazuke is not Korean kimchi. They use related lactic bacteria, but the substrate, rice bran versus chili and vegetable paste, the salt level, around 13 to 15% in the nukazuke bed versus 2 to 3% in kimchi, the temperature and seasonality of the ferment, the roll on the plate, small pickle alongside rice versus condiment or whole side dish, and the flavor profile, cheesy yeasty bran vegetable versus chili garlic fishy cabbage, are all different. The cook who tries to make kimchi by salting and packing cabbage the way they would for nukazuke will produce neither. Korean kimchi is not German sauerkraut. They use related bacteria, but the salt level differs, the spice load differs entirely, the secondary ingredients, fish sauce, salted shrimp, gochugaru and kimchi, versus juniper, caraway, or nothing in sauerkraut, the ferment time and the texture all differ. A sauerkraut at 3 weeks is a finished product. A kimchi at 3 weeks is just becoming what it will be. Many cooks let it continue acidifying for months until it reaches the deeply fermented state Korean cooks call mukkaewonji, used as a strong flavored cooking ingredient. Indian achar is not Italian jardinera, is not Mexican chilies en escabeche, is not Japanese tsukemono. Each makes preserved vegetable preparations, but the preserving agent, mustard oil, spice in achar, vinegar in jardinera, vinegar and aromatic in escabeche, salt and rice bran or salt and vinegar in tsukemono, the spice profile, the texture, and the place in the meal are all different. The cook can learn from all of these traditions and from many others not named here. Each has its own logic, its own time, its own salt level. None is interchangeable. The cook who reads this chapter should leave with this principle. The four axes are universal, but every tradition combines them differently, and the combination is the tradition. The cook can borrow with understanding, can adapt, but the cook who flattens traditions into a single fermentation grammar produces nothing real. 10. Worked examples from the catalog. The next move is to look at recipes through the four-axis lens. The recipes below are linked to the site. Each note reads which axes the dish is using and at which time horizon. Nukazuke pickles, the living bed. A rice bran bed, lightly roasted rice bran, salt at about 13% by weight of the bran, water, sometimes kombu, and dried chili, packed into a non-reactive container. Vegetables. Cucumber, daikon, carrot, eggplant, cabbage are pressed into the bed for hours to days and pulled out as needed. The bed is stirred by hand once a day to oxygenate, redistribute the bacteria, and keep the surface from developing calm or worse. If the bed develops fuzzy black, blue, or green mold, or smells of ammonia or sewage rather than the characteristic cheesy yeasty smell, discard the entire bed and clean the vessel. The calm yeast exception, flat white film, smooth or wrinkled, not fuzzy, can be skimmed. If uncertain whether it is calm or mold, discard. Shio koji marinade, the enzymatic tenderizer koji rice mixed with salt and water at a tested ratio, left at room temperature for about a week to 10 days. The koji enzymes produce a slightly sweet, deeply umami marinade. A small jar in the refrigerator is one of the most useful ingredients the home cook can keep. Half a tablespoon on a chicken thigh, 4 hours before roasting, tenderizes through enzymatic protein breakdown and seasons through the koji-derived amino acids. The shio koji holds in the refrigerator for several months. Safety. Shio koji should taste cleanly salty sweet umami. If it has developed off smells or visible mold of a color other than the intended koji white-yellow, discard. Miso marinade, preservation via paste. A long-aged miso, 6 months to 2 years or more, thinned with mirin or sake and applied to fish or meat, which then rests covered for hours to 1 or 2 days. The salt and koji enzymes both season and tenderize, and the miso contributes a deep umami that the unmarinated protein cannot reach. This is preservation applied to a fresh ingredient, using a paste that has itself been preserved for years. Safety, as with any miso, discard if mold of a color other than the intended koji white-yellow appears. The marinade should be refrigerated. The protein in the marinade should be cooked or used within 2 days. Quick pickles. Vinegar acid as contrast, not fermentation. A hot vinegar and salt brine poured over thinly sliced cucumber, daikon, carrot, or red cabbage, cooled, refrigerated. The vinegar brings the pH below 4.6, and the refrigeration keeps the preparation safe. Together they produce a bright, crisp pickle ready in 20 minutes that holds in the refrigerator for 2 to 3 weeks. This is not fermentation. There is no microbial work, just acid and cold. The note here matters, because the cook is likely to file this in the same mental drawer as nukazuke and kimchi, and the safety implications are different. Safety? Refrigerator only, 2 to 3 weeks, not shelf stable. Do not can store without a tested water bath canning recipe. Pickled red onion, quick acid preservation. Red onions sliced thin, packed into a jar, covered with hot vinegar and a pinch of salt and sugar, cooled on the counter, then refrigerated. After 20 minutes, the onion has turned bright pink and tart. After several hours, it has acidified through. The jar lives in the refrigerator for about 10 days to 2 weeks. This is the cleanest example of a fast acid preservation that delivers most of its benefit immediately. Brightness, crunch, and a structural acid topping for any dish that has gone round and quiet. Safety. Refrigerator only. 10 days to 2 weeks. The brine is for the cold storage of the onion, not for shelf storage. 11. Common misunderstandings. Fermented foods are health foods. This chapter has not made any health claims and will not. Fermented foods are a flavor and preservation system. They may have effects on the body, different effects on different bodies, different effects depending on which ferment and how much. But this chapter is not the place to make those claims. The vulnerable reader, pregnant, immunocompromised, very young, very old, or with specific medical conditions, should consult a doctor before adding raw fermented foods to their diet. The safety guidance in this chapter assumes healthy adult eaters. Vinegar pickles are shelf-stable because they are acid. Most home vinegar pickles are not shelf-stable. The acid is one variable. The canning procedure, the jar sterilization, the heat seal, the headspace, and the precise pH are all variables. A home quick pickle is a refrigerator pickle and stays in the refrigerator. Shelf-stable canning requires tested recipes and tested procedures. More salt means safer ferment, up to a point. Too much salt inhibits the lactobacillus the cook wants and produces a slow, weak ferment. Too little allows the wrong bacteria to outgrow the right ones. The tested ratios for each ferment have been worked out over centuries, cook's place to optimize. The mold isn't that bad. I can scrape it off. No. Mold roots run deeper than the visible surface. The cook cannot identify which mold is on the ferment without laboratory testing. Some food molds produce mycotoxins that are not destroyed by cooking. The cost of throwing out the batch is small. The cost of being wrong about the mold is large. Discard. Calm yeast is mold. No. Calm yeast is a flat, smooth, or wrinkled white film. It is not fuzzy. It is not colored. It is generally considered safe to skim off and continue. But if the cook is not certain whether they are looking at calm or at fuzzy white mold, the cook is not certain, and the certain answer is to discard. The uncertainty is the signal. Homemade infused oils are fine for a few days at room temperature. No. Garlic, herbs, mushrooms, and any low-acid vegetable in oil at room temperature create anaerobic conditions that Clostridium botulinum can exploit. The botulism risk is real and not theoretical. All home-infused oils must be refrigerated and used within 1 week. There is no exception. The cook who wants long-term shelf-stable flavored oil should buy a commercially tested product. Fermentation is forgiving. Fermentation is precise. The traditions that produced miso, soy sauce, kimchi, and sauerkraut are the result of generations of trial and refinement, with the failures discarded. The cook who improvises freely with salt levels, time, temperature, and substrates is most likely producing a failed ferment, sometimes a dangerous one. Follow tested recipes until the cook has enough experience to know which variables can be moved. All fermentation is the same. No. Lactic fermentation, Koji fermentation, yeast fermentation, and acetic fermentation are all different processes, with different organisms, different conditions, and different products. Within lactic fermentation alone, the traditions of nukazuke, kimchi, sauerkraut, and Indian-style fermented pickles differ substantially. Learn one tradition at a time. 12. Chef's view. In the small kitchen I worked in for a year in Hanoi, the fish sauce we used had been aging in a clay jar, in a corner of the storeroom, for the head cook told me, 2 years. He had decanted it from a larger batch that had been aging for longer. He did not buy fish sauce, he made it, in batches, from anchovies and salt and thyme, and he held each batch for at least 18 months before he opened it. I asked him once what he was waiting for. He said the fish sauce told him when it was ready.
He could not put it into words,
except to say that the young fish sauce, 6 months in, tasted of fish and salt. And the older fish sauce had stopped tasting of fish and salt. It had become a third thing that contained both. He said the third thing was what the dishes needed. If he used the 6 month sauce, the dishes tasted of fish sauce. If he used the 2 year sauce, the dishes tasted of themselves, with the 2 year sauce having organized them. I think about that jar often. It is the same observation as the faux broth in chapter 1, but in a different form. The faux broth had everything except focus, and the fish sauce was the focus. The 2 year fish sauce was something more, a tool that organized other tools. The patience was the active ingredient. The other thing I learned in that kitchen, slowly, was that the cooks who worked with the long-aged ingredients did not talk about them the way a Western chef might. They did not call them premium, or luxury, or artisanal. They called them simply what they were. Old soy sauce, old fish sauce, old miso. The age was the description. The respect was implied. You did not waste old fish sauce on a sloppy dish, but neither did you treat it as precious. You used it because the dish required what only old fish sauce could give. This is, I think, the right relationship to long-preserved foods. They are not trophies. They are tools that took time to make. The cook uses them with the same matter-of-fact respect they would use for any tool, knowing what the tool does, knowing what it costs to have, knowing what it is for, and using it without sentimentality. The home cook reading this chapter does not have to start a 2 year ferment. The home cook has to start one ferment, one nukazuke bed, one small batch of miso, one jar of sauerkraut, one sourdough starter that the cook will feed weekly for the rest of their cooking life. One thing that is alive in the kitchen and is not for tonight's dinner. The cook who has one of these has changed the kitchen, and the cook who at any point sees fuzzy mold on the surface of one of these discards. The chapter has been built around that one rule, said as many ways as the chapter could say it, because the rule is what makes the rest of the chapter responsible to write. If you see fuzzy mold, discard. That is the price of access to the patient axis. Most ferments will never develop mold. The few that do are the cost of the practice. The cook accepts the cost. The cook does not rescue the batch. That, more than the recipes, more than the four axes, more than the time chart, is the chapter. The cook learns when to wait, and the cook learns when to discard. Both are the practice. 13 Summary. The reader who has finished this chapter has gained 5 things. First, the framework. Salt, acid, dehydration, microbial fermentation. Individually understood and named, with their mechanisms, time horizons, and safety considerations. The cook can now look at any traditional preserved food and locate it on the four-axis chart. Second, the time as ingredient principle. Preservation is the practice of letting time do work that no other technique can do. The flavor depths on the other side of months and years of patience are not reachable from the fresh side. The cook who internalizes this changes their relationship with the pantry. Third, the safety center of gravity, the mold on top, discard first rule. The quick pickle is not shelf-stable rule. The salt weighed, not guest rule. The daily stirring of the nukazuke bed rule. These are the load-bearing safety rules of home preservation. The cook should know them well enough to repeat without reading. Fourth, the cultural humility. The four axes are universal. The combinations are local. Nukazuke is not kimchi, is not sauerkraut, is not achar. Each tradition is the working solution of a particular community to a particular set of conditions, refined over generations. The cook who borrows respectfully can sometimes produce something useful. The cook who flattens traditions produces nothing real. Fifth, the practical entry point. The home cook does not need to make a 2 year miso to use this chapter. The home cook needs to keep 3 or 4 preserved condiments in rotation. A pickled red onion, a quick pickle, a small jar of shiokoji, perhaps a young miso, and if ready, to start one long horizon ferment that runs for months or years in the corner of the kitchen. This chapter has been written carefully because it is the chapter where mistakes are not flavor mistakes, but safety mistakes. The cook who is uncertain about anything in this chapter should follow tested recipes from established sources, should weigh, should refrigerate when in doubt, and should discard when in doubt. The cost of caution is one batch. The cost of confidence in the wrong direction is occasionally severe.